AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge final night in the Championship. Falkirk are in the driving seat and know a win will pretty much guarantee them the title and promotion to the top flight. But Livingston are waiting in the wings and level on points. Jota is out for up to 9 months. And Brendan Rodgers says he underlines the importance of getting back to winning ways against Rangers. And Barry Ferguson says players better follow his instructions this weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
They had better follow his instructions, because I'm told that Andrew Kavanagh is going to be at Ibrox on Sunday, and that he is the man who's doing the 49ers Enterprises deal with Rangers. So he'll want to be there and he'll want to see a win. And a win would be embarrassing for Brendan Rodgers. 3 losses in succession to Rangers would not be a good look, even though they are the confirmed champions. And so anyone who says that this game doesn't matter is trying to tell you a lie, because in this city, the outcome of this game is equal to the meaning of life, Scott.
It sure is. Listen, it's a big weekend of Scottish football ahead, no more so than me than looking at that Falkirk tie tonight, obviously at home to Hamilton Accies, looking to clinch a title, all to play for as well for Livingston. He'll be keeping an eye on that. And as for Sunday at Ibrox, for me, it's a game of personal pride. Rangers looking obviously to restore a better home form than what they've shown over the last few months as they welcome the champion Celtic.
0141-951-1025. That is the number that you need. So come on, let us know what you're thinking tonight. There is so much going on. The Championship, it all comes down to this. The final night, a title deciding evening across the country. Give us your thoughts. Are you heading along? I'd love to hear from you. If you're on your way to Falkirk, or you're on your way to Livingston, Why not give us a call? Remember, Falkirk at home to Hamilton Accies, confirmed relegated after yesterday's failed appeal, by the way. That was after we went off air last night. Goal difference is in Falkirk's favour. So a Falkirk win, they've won the title, they're up, they'll join the Premiership next season. However, any failure to win and Livingston could snatch it at the death there at home to Partick Thistle. Partick Thistle are in fourth place, trying to hold on to that final playoff spot. And if they don't win, but Raith Rovers do against Queen's Park, Raith would pip them to the playoffs as well. It barely gets more exciting than this in the Championship. So give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. Not naive enough though to think that most of you might want to cast your minds ahead to Sunday. So let's do that. Celtic fans, before you even get to the game, up to 9 months out for Jota. How big a blow is that? How do you see it affecting things between now and the end of the season? And what about next season? Because with the best will in the world, when are you going to see the best version of Jota again? If it's a 9 month absence, does that accelerate things? Do you need to do something different in the transfer market this summer to replace him? Give us your calls on that. And we've done this all week. What does it mean? Of course, personal pride. Of course, Celtic will want to win. Is it as meaningful as it could be? Again, obviously not. But where do you sit in it all? Brendan Rodgers today admitting that maybe Celtic have come off it in the last couple of games, but saying they can't do that this time against Rangers. Barry Ferguson says the players better be following his instructions. So Rangers fans, where are you coming at this from as well? 0141 951 1025. It's all set up. What a weekend, Hugh. And I've not even touched on the Premiership tomorrow.
Well, let's start with tonight. Falkirk versus the condemned men of Hamilton Accies. I said from the outset, Gordon, that I didn't think that the SFA would overturn a punishment as severe as the one imposed on Hamilton Accies. They were not going to reduce the sentence, and they were certainly not going to rescind the sentence. So I feel very sorry for John Rankin, for all the Hamilton Accies players and their supporters in particular, because they're now relegated and homeless. They're leaving their ground and they're going to be based in Broadwood next season, the season that they'll spend in Division One. For me, Falkirk will win the league title by beating the condemned men, but Partick Thistle, no matter what happens at Livingston, will still be in the playoffs, because I think there's a daft result coming, and I think it's going to come at Queen's Park against Raith Rovers. And if I'm wrong, I'll apologise to Mark Wilson in this studio tomorrow, but I think that's the daft result. Falkirk, though, will be back-to-back promotion winners, and that is wonderful for John McGlynn.
Football is at its best, Scott, when you are taking part or watching a big game, but also keeping an eye on a result elsewhere. That's the best scenario. Don't care what level it is, that is when you know you're in for drama.
Yeah, listen, I think tonight's going to be, I've been looking forward to it all week. I think looking at Falkirk, if they weren't to get over the line tonight against Hamilton Accies, obviously Hugh touches on the problems that that club's facing, obviously condemned to relegation, the points, the moving stadium. If Falkirk were to stall the final hurdle tonight and Livingston were to snatch it, the season's based over a long season, every game counts, and they wouldn't deserve to go up in my eyes. It's set up for Falkirk. Home support, full stadium, some of the players they've got, back-to-back promotions, it's all there for them to go and write themselves into the history books at Falkirk.
You've been there. I've referred to Hamilton as the condemned men. Will they feel like condemned men?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one from a Hamilton point of view, because you hear the situations where guys say, well, they've got nothing to play for, so they'll go out and play with a bit of freedom. But also, a lot of the players will be glad to see the back of this season, and will be looking obviously to get moves elsewhere and to try and steady their careers again, because it's, listen, the Hamilton story for the last 3-4 months hasn't been a good one, and players been part of that most of the time look to jump ship. So it's one of the ones that it all depends on how Falkirk start the game. I would imagine if Falkirk would get an early goal, then they would run out comfortable winners. But as long as that goes on, it starts to get more nervier, the fans obviously start to get more nervier, and then Livingston might score a goal and the other fixture, and then that pressure starts to add, and then that's up to the players to then stand up to that and go and show why they want to be champions.
Okay, 01419511025. If you're going to the championship games tonight, give us a call. We'd love to join in the excitement with you. And what about Sunday? Jot it out for up to 9 months. Celtic fans, give us your reaction to that, please. We're talking the desire to end this run of two consecutive wins for Rangers in the fixture. There's even more Guard of Honour stuff in there, as there always is. Barry Ferguson's pretty defiant, trying to get his players to follow his instructions, which he feels they didn't do last weekend. So give us a call, 01419511025. Callum Brown's in position at Livingston. Set the scene for us, Callum. An exciting night ahead.
Yeah, Gordon, a massive game tonight here at the home of the Setfair Arena, and barring their cup final appearance in 2021, probably Livingston's biggest game since those playoffs 7 years ago against tonight's opponents, Partick Thistle. That's brought about demand for tickets, so much so that the main stand here, the west stand as well, where I'm currently sat, is sold out for home fans. So Livingston have opened the south stand as well for the first time in a league match this season. And the Jags as well, they'll bring a good, noisy travelling support as ever. Just under 2,000 expected from Glasgow as well. The Lions know what they have to do. Victory tonight, coupled with Falkirk failing to win against Hamilton, and they are champions. It's been a brilliant fight back from David Martindale's side to even take it to the final day, considering the points gap between the clubs last month. The Livy manager himself actually saying after a defeat to Dunfermline last month that the league was done. But Livy, with 4 wins on the spin, will be confident of upholding their side of things tonight. But it could be an anxious evening for supporters around the ground checking the score at the Falkirk Stadium. If they're to become champions, they'll need a favour from already relegated Hamilton. Something that seems unlikely, but you just never know, especially with 5 former Livy players in the Accies squad and Ryan McGowan's brother, Dylan. As for the visitors, Partick Thistle, of course a massive game for them too. Let's not forget, a victory, as you touch on, Gordon, confirms 4th spot and a place in the playoffs, 3 points, and there's no relying on others. It is in their hands. A draw could also get the job done, however, then it would be all eyes on Hampden, where Raith Rovers, just 2 points behind, face Queen's Park, hoping to apply some late pressure on the Jags. If Thistle were to draw tonight, a win by 4 goals or more would see Barry Robson's side leapfrog them into that final playoff berth, and a Thistle defeat, and they'll be relying on a favour from the Spiders at Hampden. So, as I say, a lot at stake tonight in West Lothian. Both sets of supporters will have one eye on this game here and another at Falkirk or Hampden, depending on their allegiance. Either way, though, as you guys touch on, in the studio, all set up for a frantic end of season finale.
Looking forward to it. We'll get team news very soon. Dave is a Partick Thistle fan. Are you going tonight, Dave?
I'm just on my way on the M8 just now.
Oh, how are you feeling?
The nerves are absolutely through the roof. I don't think I've ever been this bad. I've got three quick points, if you don't mind, gentlemen.
Go for it.
The first thing is, I'd like to thank these for the prize I won recently, and it was a beautiful night these gave me. Secondly, I would like to offer my apologies to Chris Doolan for my wee bit of disrespect towards him for being he's a legend at the club, and I was wee bit disrespectful of the last phone call I gave. And the third one, Hugh, why have you did it? Why have you gave us a kiss of death?
Oh, have faith, man. Have faith. Stop your lip trembling. Sit up like a big boy.
Here's the thing for you, Dave. I wonder, because you'll concede that the main headline will be drawn to who wins the title, but obviously you're talking about the playoffs. Do you think, is the ideal scenario for you, you want Falkirk to race into an early lead, and then that means Livy will kind of know that there's nothing they can do, and that gives Thistle a better chance? Do you know what I mean? Does that give Thistle a better chance?
It's a hard one, because see, to be honest, I would actually, a few months ago, I felt Falkirk were thoroughly deserving of being champions with the way they played. They've got a great fan base. They offer the Premier League a massive amount, nothing. But I feel as if Falkirk have collapsed that much recently that I would actually fancy playing them in the playoff rather than playing Livingston. Livingston are just bully boys.
But then you need to get there first, so, you know, if you're Partick Thistle, I suppose.
We'll do it the Partick Thistle way. It's
maybe.
Going to be just the usual. It's going to be 90 minutes of just torture for us. It's like, at the end of every season, Gordon, you do a great thing where you ask fans of clubs to phone up and sum up their season in a few words. Mm-hmm. This has just simply been a roller coaster. This year's been, don't even know where to begin with this year.
And it's not over yet. That's why I love Livingston, because it's not, you've got Livy going for the title and Thistle going for the... Yeah. The playoffs, you know, the Falkirk game's a bit different because there's nothing on it for Hamilton.
I think the scenario you painted is the correct one. If Davy Martindale hears that Falkirk are two up on Hamilton, he knows, he's a football man, he knows there's no way back for Hamilton Accies, and he can start to prepare for being the runner-up.
You start you start resting players for the playoffs at that point?
Yeah, as you would, yeah, obviously, if there's big players who you don't want to risk getting into these playoff games, you would do the right thing and take them off and wrap them in cotton wool. Listen, I'm so excited for the games tonight, all over the Livingston game and the Falkirk game. And
you're just staying here all night and watch them once we go off here, three of us.
I think Dave has forgotten last Friday night, where Partick Thistle, way into time added on, get the goal that beats Falkirk. So that's part of the roller coaster, as I say, there's another element to all, Dave, as you know. Queen's Park are appalling and have been since they knocked Rangers out of the Scottish Cup. But there's always something daft in the air. And it might not be at your game. And it might not be at the Falkirk Stadium. It might be Queen's Park against Raith Rovers. Have you thought about that one, Dave?
You've got too much excitement. Too much excitement for Dave, who's nervous on the way from a Thistle perspective. But you throw Falkirk Livy into the mix, there's a lot going on there tonight. Let's hear from the Falkirk Stadium as well, because they're the ones with a really simple picture, in theory. They're top, we've got better goal difference, win the game against the team bottom of the league, and they will get promoted. Let's hear from Tom Grant.
Thanks, Gordon. Yes, and a good evening from a sun-kissed Falkirk Stadium. And well, it all comes down to this, doesn't it? Just under 2 weeks ago, the Bears were just minutes from all but securing the Championship title and a return to the Premiership for the first time in 15 years as they led Raith Rovers 1-0 with a win set to put them six clear with two games to go and a far superior goal difference. But as we all know, three late goals from the Kirkcaldy side and a 2-1 defeat to Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle 7 days ago has somewhat unbelievably let Livingston back into the title race, and the two sides go into tonight's final round of fixtures level on points. Falkirk, of course, face bottom side Hamilton here tonight. The Accies relegation down to League One confirmed after their appeal against a 15-point deduction was dismissed by an independent tribunal. But all focus here is on the home side, and if they can finally wrap up that championship title to secure back-to-back promotions. Second place, Livingston take on Partick Thistle just a few miles along the road, knowing any sort of slip-up by the Bairns could open the door to them for a title that just a couple of weeks ago seemed highly improbable. The sellout crowd are sure to bring some noise and back their boys, but there is bound to be some nerves given what's occurred over the last 2 weeks. An early goal for Falkirk would settle the majority inside the ground. It's going to be a fascinating evening in the Championship, and undoubtedly, no matter what happens, an emotional one. Kick-off here at the Falkirk Stadium is 7.45.
Oh, looking forward to it. I can sense the tension and the nerves, easy for me to say from here. Maybe the occasion's getting to me already. 01419511025, good time to call. It should be straightforward, Scott. Does that bring its own pressure? If you're a Falkirk player, how do you square this stuff? Because if they keep saying, oh, they would have taken this at the start of the season, which is true, but they also should have wrapped it up by now. Is it inevitable that they'll be feeling a bit on edge tonight?
Yeah, listen, I thought there was large parts of the game last week where Falkirk played well. You've got to take in some of the refereeing decisions that impacted the game last week as well. I think that there'll be well aware of. For me, listen, I think Falkirk players, they know what's at stake tonight. Obviously, back-to-back promotions, they've had quite a settled team for most of the season, and from League One last year as well. You got to go out everything you've got late on the line and come away with the win. If Falkirk play to their strengths, Falkirk win the game. But listen, that one wee bit, that could be a decision. It could be someone makes a late tackle and gets sent off. Then the full mentality changes. So listen, they know what they have to do tonight.
I don't wish to sound like a mercenary, but well, there's obviously a financial incentive for the Falkirk players to go up. They will all know of it, and they are letting down their own families.
It's a bit extreme.
Every wife, every child has been let down by the Falkirk players if they do not get this money in the bank.
That's poor.
And they don't
me.
Even need a call from Gemma Atkinson. All they have to do is beat the team who are bottom of the league and who have been condemned to the League One next season.
That is cynical, even by your standards. 01419511025. That's tonight. What about Sunday? No Jota for Sunday or for the next 6 to 9 months, Celtic fans. What's your reaction to that news today? No Alistair Johnston this weekend either, and Dyson Meda and Nicholas Kuhn didn't train either. However, Brendan Rodgers thinks those two have more of a chance of making it. Give us all your thoughts there. And Rangers fans, what's left for you then? You've gone 2 in a row. You've not won 3 in a row in one season since 1996-97. Can you do it again this weekend? Give us a call and we will speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here on a massive night for the Championship. It's a huge weekend for the Premiership as well. And even although there aren't any titles or the likes riding on it, if there's one fixture that can defy all that, then it's Rangers against Celtic, isn't it? So we'll take a look at that one with Alec, who's on the line. How are you, Alec?
I am not bad. It's just a question to the panel.
Go for it.
Well, Scott Allen obviously played the Celtic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh Keevans obviously supports it, right? But no, I mean, similar.
Is there a question coming here?
Depends who you believe.
Tell him to be quiet. The question is, what does Hugh Keevans think about the Guard of Honour? We know it's not going to happen. But when the players come out of that tunnel, is Rangers going to play simply the best?
Yes, they will.
So who's that going to inspire?
Well, it's supposed to inspire Rangers, but all of these things are nonsensical. I couldn't believe that a man as sensible as Brendan Rodgers got involved in this today.
Why don't we play it in case anyone's is wondering your thoughts? Brendan Rodgers, of course, was asked about it. Here's what he had to say.
The Guard of Honour thing, it's not a rule. That's the first thing I would say. It's not in the rules that you have to do it. And I think that when two clubs and the rivalry is so emotional, it's always difficult for the team that comes up short. It's one that I'm relaxed either way on it. I'm a little bit of a traditionalist and where, because there's a lot of things that are going out of our game over in these Isles that are just moving away from the traditions of, you know, the great managers and the great people that ran our game and were successful in our game. And I always think if you're a champion to show, or not a champion, showing that humility to the other team, whatever the rivalry is, or whatever, it's a mark of respect. But like I said, Celtic Rangers, it's an emotional rivalry. And if you're up short, and if you come up short quite a lot, then it can be a challenge for you and to justify that with your supporters. But as I said, I'm a traditionalist. These are the things that have been in our game for many, many years. I'm relaxed either way on it, really.
The Guard of Honour is not a tradition within the context of the Old Firm game. I believe it did happen when Celtic won the European Cup, I think. I have read. I don't remember it. I remember the European Cup, but I don't remember the Guard of Honour. It is the honour that Celtic have to guard that is important on Sunday. They are confirmed as the champions, but they have lost twice back-to-back, once to Philippe Clement, once to Barry Ferguson. To lose three times in the same season to Rangers for the first time since Walter Smith did it 96-97 would be an embarrassment for Brendan Rodgers and a source of irritation for the Celtic supporters. I heard one Rangers fan last night on the programme say you'd have to hose this programme down on Monday night if Celtic lose again for a third time. But the Guard of Honour is a fake show of appreciation that the Rangers players wouldn't want to do, and the Celtic players wouldn't do it if the boot was in the other foot and Rangers were the title holders. It's a redundant topic of conversation, but it keeps people happy. It's an annual event. It's like Easter or Christmas. But it's not important, as I say. The Guard of Honour is not as important as the honour that Celtic have to guard for themselves on Sunday.
Alec, do you care either way, or are you just mischief making? Have you got strong feelings?
No, I'm just fine with that, Sir Davis. But did Tommy Burns know that when Rangers won a league?
No.
Did he know?
I don't recall that.
I think if you look back in your history, he's Tommy Burns.
Why are these? Tell me then, you're on and you're keeping it going. What is so important about this fake show of appreciation?
I know that. But it's just this respect, both sides.
You've just admitted it's a fake show of appreciation. There is no respect.
I know that. But what I'm saying is, seeing the Celtic players come in, the Rangers players come in, they've got to play some for the best. So who's that for? Is it for Celtic or Rangers?
I couldn't care less. I'm waiting to see how the game goes.
It was obviously not a serious question, though, is it? Because, like, if they play it all the time, then how could it possibly be for...
for Celtic?
That's just I think Tom Alec knows it's a daft question. That's why I'm asking if that's just making some sort of weird statement. I don't know. Scott, have you any thoughts? Have you any energy for this? I actually thought it was quite balanced all round from Brendan Rodgers, because he didn't say it was terrible that Rangers didn't, you know, wouldn't do it. He said he likes these traditions, but accepts that this rivalry, above all other rivalries, is a bit more emotional. Things are a bit more irrational. Things are a bit more difficult when, you know, things are going against you.
Yeah, a bit more emotional is probably an understatement to define that fixture. Listen, it ain't going to happen. I think from a player's perspective, whether you were Rangers players, you wouldn't want to do it. And whether you were one of the Celtic players sitting in the change room, it's not something you'd be sitting about in the change room talking about. Obviously, Rangers players giving you a guard of honour onto the pitch. They're more concerned, obviously, getting out and as Hugh says, proving that they're champions, and they can obviously the two defeats turn that into wins now because they've lost to Rangers twice. So I think from 1,000,000% from the players' perspective, it doesn't really affect them either.
On the other side, I keep seeing people sharing the quote from the season Rangers won it a few years ago. I think John Kennedy must have been on media duties that week, and he was asked if Celtic would do it in return, and he said no.
Yeah,
and round and round they go,
and they won't. The clubs.
Can this be the final time then? Can we all make an agreement that if for whatever reason there is still an appetite out there for this debate, that this is at least the last one?
No, because Rangers at some point in the future will win the league title and then it will come up.
But then to be fair, it only comes up if the fixtures align that way. You know, if Celtic had won the title that day up at St Johnstone, then we wouldn't have this because... If there was a Guard of Honour, it would have been done already.
But that's why when St Johnstone beat Celtic, everyone is thinking, oh great, we can have this daft argument now about Guards of Honour. But In actual fact, to take all humour out of the situation, it's dangerous. If you had a guard of honour at Ibrox on Sunday,
it's dangerous about it.
The cause of disruption among the crowd.
The game's still going to go ahead. All the same people are in. I don't think the guard of honour makes any difference. The same, you know, because in the game you might get a controversial red card, you might get a goal. It's not going to make it. It's not going to make it any different.
The Rangers supporters shouting, "Why are you doing this?"
Well, that doesn't sound dangerous.
Well, tension mounts. But
you get tension. It's the ultimate tension-filled fixture anyway. Yeah. I don't think that side of it. I think it's more just, as you guys have said, what's the point?
If we
pretend that it's a sort of bigger and fiercer rivalry than everybody else, then these are the things that can't go on in this derby.
It's an argument that's meant to cause embarrassment. Ah, they wouldn't do it. That makes them less of a club and all that. It's a pile of nonsense.
It's a wind-up.
Great fun. Thank you, Talek. 01419511025. I can see the phone lines lighting up.
I wonder why.
I thought there was no appetite for it. I keep saying it all week, but maybe I'm wrong. Clearly, I just.
What about Simply the Best? Didn't get it to
that. Who are you playing it for?
Well, as I say,
come on, who are you playing it for?
Rangers are playing it for Rangers.
I know.
And I repeat, I couldn't care less. They could play Always Look on the Bright Side of Life for all I care.
Any footballing thoughts ahead of the weekend, Celtic fans? On another night, this would be the number one topic by a mile, but I appreciate there's a lot going on. Jota is out for up to 9 months. How big a blow is that? And what do you make of that situation going forward? Because that's the length of absence that probably changes your summer transfer window. Champions League qualification, the start to next season, maybe even a fair way into next season, if you look at it. So give us your thoughts there on that. Obviously, it had elements of looking like a bad one at the weekend, didn't it? When he went down and then he came back on with the crutches and the knee brace, and you never quite know. But 9 months potentially is a heck of an absence.
I'll tell you what, it affects so many other situations. Right away, we've been talking of Nicholas Kuhn and possible bids coming in. Right away, Celtic can't further diminish their squad by selling Nicholas Kuhn or Daizen Maeda. They have this week announced what they have said is the biggest shirt manufacturing deal in the history of the Scottish game, £25 million to Celtic. That can be devoted to bringing in other players because, you know, the other players will go from Celtic, but Jota's lost to them for almost a year and Kuhn can't be allowed to go anywhere else and others have to be brought in. They're short.
Let's bring Willie in, who's on the line. How are you, Willie?
Hey, I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
How's it, guys?
How you doing, Willie? What are you thinking tonight?
Well, first of all, I'm pleased that Hugh is delighted with his programmes.
Oh, you're the man from Irvine who sent the Clyde Bank programme in.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah, that's us.
Good on you.
I sent an email to my pal in Australia because, as I said, my oldest friend in the world was in the programme from the 1970s and he's told me to hold on to that programme, Willie, until he comes back from Sydney next time around and he can get that programme from when he was a kid.
Well, you'll be able to have a glass of red and talk about it.
Oh, I'll bet he will. Doesn't need an excuse, Willie, for goodness sake. What are you thinking ahead of the weekend then?
Head of the weekend, what I think is, now, we know there was vandalism down at Celtic Park at the last game, and I hope that any Celtic-minded guys are going to do a tit-for-tat. Please don't. The only people who benefit out of vandalism is the contractors who get the job to repair it.
I mean, Hugh, the thing about that, no offence to Willie, that kind of just goes without saying.
Yeah.
Sometimes, as well, because this fixture, all the spotlight goes on it, there are quite often when any travelling support goes to another, it's just an unsavoury element of football. Yeah. Now, I don't think we need to spend the show asking that people don't commit acts of vandalism. No. I mean, it should just go without saying.
Damage.
And I know it might necessarily not, but I don't know.
Damage is sadly part and parcel of that particular fixture, whether it takes
and others, by the way, that's my point.
Yeah, yeah,
I go to Fir Park, you know, there's often broken seats. Is that to say that it's okay? Absolutely not.
Yeah,
but just
Willie shouldn't have to broadcast an appeal asking for good behaviour. It is inherent in this fixture, and as Gordon Duncan has said, and in others. So it goes without saying that we'd ask people to behave.
As a Celtic fan, Willie, what did you make of that Jota news today? 6 to 9 months.
6 to 9 months. It's disappointing. We may have to bring somebody in. In the meantime, whether it's a loan or I don't know, but it's disappointing. But that's football for you. People get injured.
Shows you the vulnerability of a player's life. And I'm sitting beside someone who's experienced that side of the game. Scott Allen's had his problems. You know, 1 minute you're the golden boy brought back to Celtic. It's goals and tears and emotion and everything's going well. And on the day that Celtic win the title, he suffers a horrific injury like this. So good luck to Jota and a speedy recovery. But Scott, that's the life of a player.
It really is. I think Jota himself and obviously Celtic fans would have seen him come back January. He's had some very good moments since he's came back, but he would have been looking at the summer and that pre-season as a chance to really get back up to speed. And obviously when you have an injury like you do, as you said, when Celtic got to Tandyce to win the league and it rules you out, I'm thinking maybe January, February next year, because a lot of the time when that happens, there's usually other setbacks within that injury. It'll be a real disappointment for him especially, and obviously the Celtic support who were obviously looking at pre-season as a chance for him to get back to the best version of himself, if not better. So I think in terms of all the Celtic fans and obviously the player and teammates, they'll be gutted for him.
Because even if you're saying that best case scenario is 6 months, to then do that and then get back to, you know, full fitness, if it was the worst case scenario and it's 9 and you're then looking to become and be the best version of yourself, you actually could be writing off the entirety of next season. We're not even finished this one yet.
Yeah.
You know, what does 9 months take you up to February? You know, so say once
you add that up with the last 2 years as well, it's a lot of football missed. Obviously with the transfer to Saudi, followed up with the Rennes deal, it's probably been about 3 months of football all in. And
let's hear Brendan Rodgers' update on it from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Obviously Jota will be out, sadly for us, and for him he'll be out for a period of time, probably 6 to 9 months. Obviously it's the cruciate, worse than sort of we'd hoped, really. So he starts on his journey of recovery from that now, but yes, could somewhere between 6 to 9 months it'll be. He's had a difficult probably couple of years, really, when you think of how these moves went to Saudi, didn't quite work out. He's come back to here, he's loving being back, but he's telling you need to get to fitness, his level of fitness. And that was to try and get through this season and the best he could and then have a really strong pre-season. So sadly, that sort of interrupted that side of it. But I have to say, he is a very positive young guy, and I'm pretty sure he'll come back from this here a stronger person and player.
It makes the talks between Dermot Desmond and Brendan Rodgers in the summertime all the more intriguing and important for Celtic, because Jota is lost to the club for a long time. James Forrest, the most decorated Celtic player, but fast approaching the end of his career. Yang, people argue the merits and demerits of Yang. That Celtic, Nicholas Kuhn, the speculation surrounding him. Celtic now have to focus on bringing players in, because as things stand at the moment, Brendan Rodgers, although the manager of the champions, is looking to next season and thinking he's a bit light.
You've done the main job, Willie. You've won the title, but you've lost the last two against Rangers. What does this fixture mean to you under those circumstances this weekend?
Well, I'd say it's time to get back to winning May against Rangers. You know, it's been a long while, as far as I'm concerned. And we'd like to see this game out and the rest of the games and get ourselves ready for the final.
Yeah, thank you to Willie from Irvine. It wasn't the only piece of team news that Jota won. Remember, no Alistair Johnson, definitely for Celtic, and Kunin Maeda also didn't train today, but I think the picture looks a bit better as far as they're concerned. It's a good time to give us a call. Big night in the Championship as well. Rangers fans, on the game itself this weekend, what does it mean? What do you think? Barry Ferguson says his players better take his instructions on, unlike last weekend. So give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, joined on the line now by Thomas and Sandy Hills. How are you, Thomas?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. What's your point tonight?
Hey, I've got a couple of things to say. First of all, I'm scummed with Jota. He was just coming out to get himself fit there, coming on to a game. And with the suspicions he could be leaving, it was important to get him up to speed. And the other one is the people running Celtic. We've got to speculate to accumulate something. We've got to see, can we get further? Is it up to me one season, really back the manager and see what happens? Celtic fans will not expect that this season. We're not stupid, but when the money's there.
What do you think that looks like, Thomas? Celtic spent £26 million on three players last summer. When you say, you know, you're going to need to speculate to accumulate at some point. The tone suggests that you don't think they've done it before. By Scottish standards, £26 million, three players.
Let's be honest, but the teams are coming up against, that's nothing. They spent that man player.
But that's not what you asked. You asked for Celtic to push the boat out. It's not Celtic's fault that they play teams in the Champions League who have multiple...
To try and better the quality of the player, the level of the player. That's what I mean. Obviously, the higher quality, the higher the price. That's what I mean.
Well, Celtic paid £11 million for someone who was 20 years old, Arnott Ingles.
That's one player.
So it does show that they are willing to do so. And when Brendan Rodgers meets Dermot Desmond, that you can rely on it now. The first thing he'll be talking to him about is the loss of Jota for probably a year. The speculation surrounding Nicholas Kuhn. Speculation will surround Daizen Maeda by the time he's finished this season and has close to 40 goals. And you get James Forrest, who, great though he has been, is approaching the end of the line. So Celtic do need to spend, and Brendan Rodgers knows that better than anyone, and he will now be looking for a commitment from Dermot Desmond. But to be fair, as Gordon Duncan said, £26 million on three players a year ago doesn't suggest that Celtic are withholding money.
And you could even say, right now, if everybody was fit and available, two of them wouldn't get in the starting 11.
Yep.
In Adam Ida, potentially, and Austin Trusty. But anyway, you still need a squad, so that's more of a small point. I think Thomas is right, Scott, in the logic. You can't argue with that. If Celtic want to keep improving, they're going to need to keep investing in the squad. They're going to need to try and keep pushing the ceiling up. But a Scottish club ceiling can only go so far. So maybe Thomas has got a number. If 26 million on three players isn't enough, what is? I can't imagine it gets much higher than that.
I think that's a lot from where I'm sitting. I think as well, you need to make the point is then the wages then increase throughout the squad, and then you get the harmony where someone could be on substantially more than somebody else, and that all then leads to a bit of unrest. And Celtic have obviously worked well, especially the guys running the show in at Celtic, in terms of keeping that wage and Celtic coming out in the profit. And they actually did progress this year in the Champions League, which was the first time in a long while for Celtic. They look as if they're going to go on and do a treble. So there's no question they're going to have to spend money again. I think the Jota being out for a length of time, and that is a huge loss for Celtic. The uncertainty with Kuhn, they are going to have to spend money. They're going to have to go out and get a winger, unless there's something in the academy that we haven't seen yet, which would maybe, as we look across the world and you see these young emerging talents coming out, and if given the chance, they have shown to be worthy of the opportunity. We in this country don't seem to see that a lot. But for me, listen, I don't think the questions can be aimed at the Celtic board, because the way things are getting ran at Celtic at this minute in time are exemplary in my opinion.
The other thing that will sharpen Celtic's focus is that when Rangers takeover is finally done and dusted, fans like Thomas on the line will be looking at everything Rangers do, how much money is put in by 49ers Enterprises, and will be demanding that Celtic match that pound for pound or dollar for dollar. So the summertime is going to be very busy in that regard.
Thomas, you think you're winning Sunday?
I think we won 3-1. See the point I was trying to make there? You're saying about Ingles, that is one player. It takes more than one player to build a team for getting into Champions League. That's, I'm not denying. What they spent there was a lot for the Scottish League. But Brendan came back and said he was about to push the boat in Europe. And one player isn't going to turn it in Europe.
It was three players, we said, but we said three. So what do you, how much? Okay, let's put it in simple terms because we're now going around in circles. How much do you think is a realistic but satisfactory amount for Celtic to spend in a summer? If 26 million isn't it, what would you like that number to be?
See, this is your point. It can't be a number because we don't know who's going to leave. That's what I'm trying to say. What are we going to be left with?
But so, you could argue, Tommy,
spend a lot of money just to cap to get to the level we're at this season.
Well, that's fine. A net spend then, Scott. You know, from here, let's say nobody leaves. You know, it's just hard to imagine. Celtic might, depends what Thomas's boat looks like. That 26 million might be 30, it might be 32. But how much does that move the dial? Are they going to spend 50 million in a window, is what I'm asking. And I think the answer is no.
I think Thomas can answer his own question. I was saying, but that's only one in terms of Arne Ingles, in terms of what they spent. Celtic's best players over the last few years are the one they've not spent huge amount of millions of pounds on. You can go out and find little nuggets across the world who end up fantastic players for Celtic, and they have done time and time again. You got to trust in the recruitment, which Celtic as a board, as a club, have proven time and time again over the last few years.
There's no doubt it's going to be the talking point of the summer. What will be on Sunday, likewise the Scottish Cup final and the potential treble. But when 49ers Enterprises become the owners of Rangers, this is going to be the major topic of the summer. How much money is going into Rangers, and the Celtic support will demand that the same, if not more, is put into Celtic.
But to be fair, that's the same discussion at Celtic every summer. Yeah. Anyway, irrespective of what's going on elsewhere.
But can they come in and just spend as much as they want?
No, of course not.
No. But Rangers will be improved by the arrival of new owners. And Jota just brings things into focus. I think there comes a time when Celtic have to say no to people who want to take their players away from Celtic. There comes a time when they have to turn down the money for Kuhn or for Maeda. You know, they've been fortunate in terms of getting good money for Kyogo. They did not reinvest that money. But now they're beginning to look a little light in certain areas.
Well, they did sign Jota.
Yeah.
You said they didn't reinvest the Kyogo money.
Well,
you mean a striker?
In a striker, yeah. Now, Jota has brought things into focus, and Celtic are a little light. I mean, they still, for me, obviously need a winger, and a really good one. And for me, they still need another striker, because they're short in that department.
What are your thoughts ahead of this weekend specifically then? Let us know, Rangers fans. We're going to hear from Barry Ferguson, so why not give us your thoughts on how you see this one going. Could you do it? Could you pull it off? Could you go three in a row against the team that's miles ahead in the title race? It would be a bit of a strange end to the season if you could underline your dominance in the head-to-heads, but ultimately it not count for anything come the end of the season. Give us a call whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big night in the Championship as well. We'll give you team news soon. We'll go back around some of the grounds. But let's play Beat the Pundit to finish the week. It's your chance to win a signed ball if you can get the better of Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen. Give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 01419511025 to join in or tweet us at Clyde SSB. A massive night in the Championship. The title will be won. Promotion to the Premiership will be confirmed. Will it be Falkirk or will it be Livingston? We'll find out before the end of the night. And will it be Partick Thistle who make the final playoff spot, or will they be pipped to the post by Raith Rovers? Plenty to get through. And of course, Sunday, what are you thinking? Just when you thought we maybe had totally kicked the backside out of every conceivable angle, in the Guard of Honour debate, it still seems to be going. Brendan Rodgers said quite a bit about it. We've had calls already. If that floats your boat, who am I to judge? Get your calls in. But if you'd rather look at where the game could be won and lost, what Jota's absence for the next period of time looks like, Celtic fans, what Rangers can salvage from this at the weekend, give us a call, please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Hugh, you're comfortably mid-table, apparently, on a 76% win rate. I think you'd take that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, all day long. Yeah,
just no relegation danger, just carry on.
With the mighty Seagulls in the English Premier League.
I think that's a good mid-table. A good analogy. All right, let me get this straight. There's a lot of information here. I think tonight's contestant is Ali, who's a Motherwell fan from Glasgow, but currently in Porto. Have I got all that right, Ali?
Yes, you do indeed, Gordon.
Good. Okay, I was just trying to figure it all out there. What's the deal, Porto? Holiday? Stag do? Business trip?
Aye, it's my stag do, Gordon.
Your stag do?
Aye, it is, the very same, aye.
Interesting location.
I'm quite proud that this has become a thing, because, you know, we've had a few. It's almost like you used to get tied to a lamppost and dressed up. Maybe Ali does that for fun anyway, but he's some people get put up to Beat the Pundit on their stag do. I quite like that.
Second time this season we've heard it.
Ali, you do sound quite fit and healthy. Is that, are you all right?
Of course I am. I'm on national radio, haven't I?
Good. Yeah, keep it that way. Do you know who, the boy from Prague had me worried a few months ago? Did we not have one of them?
Yes.
He had me worried. Yes. He was a concern, but I've got faith in Ali. Ali's a Motherwell fan, all trustworthy.
A few in the background.
I was going to say, Ali, have you got a team of support?
Well, and I also follow Cuck and Tullet Rob Roy as well.
No, sorry, I meant a team of people behind you supporting you tonight.
Aye, you're the voice for the Stagger here as well. Aye, just a quick shout out to them for organising it. A big thank you to all of you.
Who's the lucky lady, Ali, lucky partner?
Catherine from Dundee.
There we go. Does Catherine from Dundee know what you're doing right now?
Absolutely not.
Brilliant. I hope somebody phones Catherine and says, you'll never guess what that idiot is up to right now on his stag do. Anyway, heads it will be Hugh Keevan's, tails it will be Scott Allen, and it is tails. Scott, you're going to ruin this man's stag do.
Huh.
I'm going to try. Is it more pressure?
More pressure, yeah.
Oh, he's disappeared. The signal must have gone. There's no way his bottle's crashed, has it?
No.
He's gone?
No.
Oh, what a turn up this is. And try and form
interesting
back.
Place for a stag, Porto.
That suggests to me a certain level of sophistication.
Yes, it's a lovely city.
I was going to say, that's not standard stag do practice, is it?
Mm.
Where did you go for yours? Soggy Hall Street?
No.
Cheers.
Kilbowie Road.
Seriously? Oh, yeah, we've spoken about this before. The road there, what's it called?
The Atlantis.
The Atlantis. That was your stag do?
Yeah.
Just a wee night out. Good.
Sounds good.
Right, Ali.
In the middle of the road saying, I'm getting married in the morning.
Ali, you're back. We thought we'd lost you there. Are you all good?
Yes, I'm back, Jim.
Right, okay. Sure. What we'll do is give Scott Allen something else to listen to, and that way it is over to you. It might be a rabble there, Ali. If you can give me the final answer, that would be helpful, okay?
Yes, no problem.
Good man. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish player to score in an Old Firm game?
Callum McGregor.
What ground is bigger, Livingston's or Falkirk's?
Falkirk.
Which Championship side have been given a transfer ban this week?
Green at Morton.
True or false, there is a castle on Edinburgh City's club crest?
True.
Regan Charles Cook played for which Scottish side?
Ross County.
Which Celtic winger is potentially out for up to 9 months?
Jota.
Okay, Scott Allen, can you hear us? Are you back?
Yes.
Good, you ready?
Yep.
Time to try and ruin the stag do. You're 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who was the last Scottish player to score in an Old Firm game?
Pass.
Which ground Calmer. Is bigger, Livingston or Falkirk?
Falkirk.
Which Championship side have been given a transfer ban this week?
Morton.
True or false, there is a castle on Edinburgh City's club crest?
True.
Regan Charles Cook played for which Scottish team?
Ross County.
Which Celtic winger is potentially out for up to 9 months?
Jota.
Who is top of the SWPL?
Hibs.
Who scored the winning goal in the 2002 Scottish Cup final?
Peter Lovingcrans.
Okay. Ali, what's the verdict?
I think he might have just quit me.
Mm, it's never good, is it? I'm always team listener at the best of times, but never mind when there's a stag do involved. Do you know what I mean, Hugh Keevans? You don't want to be doing down the stag do. I hope Catherine's found out about this by now, and she's listening in to find out how it goes. Anyway, let's go through.
Is that how it's going to happen at the ceremony? Do you, Catherine from Dundee, take this man?
It has to be, because this is super scoreboard speak. You give them their name and where they're from. Yeah. People say to me in the street sometimes or whatever, by the way, I'm Tam from Coatbridge. You know, it's like their surname. Anyway, right. Which Scottish player was last to score in an Old Firm game? Well, Callum McGregor did it this season, didn't he? Back in September. You both went for Callum McGregor, so there we go. Which sides so has...
He passed on it.
Who did? Oh, Scott did. Sorry. Right, we'll go 1-0 to the guys. Which side's ground is...
Boys were sharp there, weren't
they? I know. They've not had enough... Super box yet. They're all right, they're fine. Livingston have actually got the bigger stadium. But you both went, that's Portuguese, isn't it?
Yeah.
I go to Portugal every year and stay in a villa with all my mates, so that's how it reminds me. Livingston, you both went for, didn't you?
I went for Falkirk.
I'm all over the place here. You were both wrong, that's what I meant. 1-0 still to the guys. Morton got the transfer ban, both right. Edinburgh Castle is on the, or a castle is on Edinburgh City's crest, both right. The boys still lead by one. Regan Charles Cook is Ross County, both got it. Jota out for potentially 9 months. There could have been a steward's inquiry. There was a bit, there was some noise. They did get Jota. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because it's the stag do. Still leading by one. However, Hibs are top of the SWPL. Equaliser, Scott Allen and Peter Lovenkrantz. The winning goal, just like Scott Allen got the winner. Ali. I can't believe it. Stag do ruined.
No, listen, don't worry about it. There's plenty more ups to hear. Nah, that was good. Those Scott, fair play to you, mate. Those two answers at the end were cracking. Fair play to you.
Have a good time, Ali.
Ali is the politest stag we've ever had.
Yeah.
When's the big day, Ali?
July 26th, mate.
Oh, plenty of time, bro. When are you home?
Monday afternoon, if I make it home.
Is there going to be a bar in Porto showing the Motherwell game tomorrow?
I hope not.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have thought so. I think you'd be better off giving it a miss. Thank you very much. There we go. Ali on his stag do. We wish them well. Do we get an invite to the wedding?
I thought for a dreadful moment when you said, when are you coming home? He said, the wedding's 26th of July. I thought for a dreadful moment he's going to say, July 25.
Stay out for 6 weeks or whatever it would be, more than that.
Am I climbing that table yet?
You've moved clear of Simon and Gordon DL, who were catching up on you. So you actually won't be far off the Shugster now, I would have said. You two in your kind of mid-table slot. So there we go. Porto, nice for a stag do that.
Oh yeah.
You been?
I had a wonderful time there. And then Celtic played their friendly match, and myself and another reporter from Roger Hanna's August newspaper were thrown out of the Porto Stadium for attempting to speak to Celtic players. It was one of those underground tunnel jobs, you know, the buses in there. Yeah. And we nipped downstairs to try and talk to the Celtic players, and we were thrown out of the stadium.
That sounds like the type of stuff these guys are going to get up to. They'll be chucked out of somewhere, hopefully, by the end of the night. But anyway, thanks again to the guys. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. Give us a call. Right, big night in the Championship. Let's get team news. First of all, from Livingston against Partick Thistle. Here's Callum.
Team news from West Lothian. Gordon Livingston unchanged for a third consecutive match. David Martindale names the same team that beat Hamilton 3-0 last week and Ayr 5-0 a fortnight ago. So it's Jerome Prior in goal, a back four of Jamie Brandon, Ryan McGillan, Danny Wilson and Robbie Fraser. Midfield three of Macaulay Tate, Scott Pittman and Stephen Kelly, with Lewis Smith and Christian Montano flanking striker Robbie Muirhead, who's two strikes behind Brian Graham in the battle for the Golden Boots. The subs for Livy: Hamilton, Donnellan, Clark, Finlayson, Nottingham, McAleer, Shinney, Yenge and May. As for Brian Graham and Mark Wilson, the pair have made two changes from the last gasp win against Falkirk last week. Stuart Bannigan misses out after that red card in that game, whilst Logan Chalmers isn't involved after an Achilles injury sustained against the Bairns. They're replaced by Kyle Turner and Ben Stanley. So it's David Mitchell in goal, a back five consisting of Denial Megler, Luke McBeth, Lee Asprough, Sean Kelly and Dan O'Reilly. a four-man midfield of Robbie Crawford, Kyle Turner, Ben Stanway and Aidan Fitzpatrick, with Brian Graham leading the line. The subs, Doug Bissell, Budenalkis, Mackenzie, Cameron, Abladi, Faulkner, Lockhart and Stevie Lawless. And the referee for this one is Callum Scott.
Well, there we go. It was interesting. I was speaking to David Martindale during the week, and he was saying that, you know, he's got a couple of players that he'll be keeping an eye on, so that if the other game isn't going his way, so as an example, like we said, if Falkirk are running away with the lead, there are a couple of players he won't risk, you know, maybe would take off earlier or protect. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And I think we've got team news as well from Falkirk against Hamilton.
Falkirk boss John McGlynn makes three changes to the starting 11 for the defeat against Partick Thistle 7 days ago. In come Gary Oliver, Luke Graham and the return of Sean Mackey, who was sent off against Raith Rovers. Out go Liam McCann, Tom Lang and Ross McIver. So the Falkirk team is Nicky Hogarth in goals, Liam Henderson, Brad Spencer, Gary Oliver, Keelan Adams, Dylan Tate, Luke Graham, Ethan Ross, Sean Mackey, Calvin Miller and Scott Arfield. Hamilton Accies, it's Dean Linus in goal, Dylan McGowan, Jamie Bergeronis, Stephen Bradley, Ricky Lamy, Kyle McDonald, Captain Scott Robertson, Nikolai Todorov, Ollie Shaw, Regan Tumulty and Stephen Henry.
Looking forward to them both. Let's see how the rest of the build-up goes. If you're heading along, you might be there by now, but there might be scope still to give us a call on 01419511025. Give us all your thoughts ahead of a huge night in the Championship. Very much looking forward to it. The title, you know, it used to be the helicopter. Falkirk and Livia are quite close to each other.
Yeah.
And the trophy just sitting some. Where would be the bus? Where's the midway point? Because it's pretty close. It'd be a taxi sitting somewhere.
Bathgate.
In a service station in Bathgate, just waiting to make the appropriate turning. Let's hear a bit more from today's managers who were on media duties. Barry Ferguson says the future looks bright for Rangers as the takeover edges closer, and revealed he met representatives of the 49ers group, albeit briefly.
We're all excited because it's something that the club have been wanting, is outside investment. It looks to me if it's going along smoothly, and we're just waiting to obviously get the thumbs up that everything's done and dusted, and it's the start of a new era for the club, because it certainly needs it. So, I'm just like everybody else. I'm just looking forward to the day that I get signed off, and hopefully it's a brighter future for Rangers. Just briefly for a few minutes welcomed them to the training centre, but I had more important stuff to do. I've got to prepare for an Old Firm game, but we've seen them round about the place, and that was it basically. Then I sat down with Kevin. And now I'm just looking forward to getting hopefully 3 points.
Jordan is a Rangers fan on the line. Is it all about this now, Jordan? Is it all about this takeover? Do you have anything left to give in terms of looking ahead to the weekend's game, or are you already just looking further ahead?
Good evening, gents. Evening, Scott. Evening, Hugh.
Hi.
Evening, Gordon.
Hello. How you doing, Jordan?
Not too bad, Scott. I've seen you having a good giggle at Hugh earlier on. That was quite funny. It is all more or less about the takeover. I mean, an Old Firm's an Old Firm. Never going to say it's a dead rubber game. Everyone wants to win the Old Firm. But yeah, I would say most eyes are now set on the takeover. But my point really was, there's been a few Celtic, there was a Celtic fan on just before Beat the Pundit. He was mentioning he wasn't too happy about the money that Celtic had been spending. Celtic have been spending a lot of money recently, but I think 26 million on three players is what you said, Gordon. We've not been able to spend any kind of money like that, and I'm getting the impression there's a bit of, is it trepidation or maybe fear coming from these Celtic fans that this takeover is coming in, and Rangers might be coming into a bit more money and might actually start challenging them a wee bit more.
The most natural thing in the world in our environment in the west of Scotland is that when something of this nature happens, the 49ers enterprises come in, the Rangers supporters believe that hundreds of millions of pounds will be devoted to the team. That will not happen, because the first thing the 49ers enterprises have to do is get their money back on all of the outlay to buy up shares from John Bennett, whoever. because that's how they obtain their 51% majority shareholding. And then they'll look at the squad and they'll look at whether they want to pay $6.5 million for Vaslav Cherny and so on and so forth. They're obliged to pay $4.5 million for Oscar Cortez. So on the one hand, of course the Rangers supporters have to believe, because since 2011 the club has been about turbulence and financial insecurity and the lower divisions, etc, etc. You know the story, Jordan. From the Celtic supporters' perspective, they're looking and thinking, I wonder how much is going to be spent, because they have lived since 2011 in a world of their own, apart from one season where Steven Gerrard won a league title. So it's the most natural thing in the world. The Rangers fans think that they've won the lottery, and the Celtic fans are concerned in case they have won the lottery.
I see, in fairness, Jordan, that Celtic fan who made that point, that sounds like a point we take from Celtic fans every single season, regardless of whether Rangers are getting taken over by 49ers Enterprises or not. Every year we go round and round on how much Celtic should spend and trying to compete in the Champions League. So I'm not sure that point is as a response to Rangers being on the verge of a takeover.
No, I just begin to hear it more often, and it's making me wonder, maybe this is why there's more talk of we should start spending more money. Is it because, Hugh, I didn't say that the 49ers Enterprises had won the lottery, but you are aware they've just won the most expensive promotion in football. They own Leeds United, and going into the English Premier League gains you more money than you can gain anywhere else in football. So...
It's about how much you are allowed to spend. Yeah. It's not about how much they have. I think they've got enough, that's for sure. It's about how much you're allowed to spend. And by the way, another thing, Scott, it actually doesn't matter who is in charge or how much money they've got. Nothing will ever change. Nothing becomes more important than how you spend it. You know, Jordan's saying, I've got him because we've not spent anything before, now we'll be able to. I think Rangers spent decent money on Nadim Barami. Rangers spent more than decent money on Ridvan Yilmaz, Danilo. Sam Lammers, Cyril Dessers, Danilo.
Yep.
So actually, the most important thing might be how good's Kevin Thelwell, how good's the recruitment staff, before you actually worry about what that total number is. Because if you want it to be quick, if you want Rangers to catch up and win the league next season, you might be looking at needing to get 90% of your signings bang on, which isn't easy for any club, irrespective of how much money they've got.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think the Kevin Thelwells, the ownership structure, the chief exec, all that, all of them working in tandem is the most important thing. The manager that's going to be chosen next, that is the most important thing for Rangers after the takeover is announced. Then that's when you can put all the things in place, the recruitment. The difference between the both clubs in terms of what the money that you are bringing in, you're Celtic have earned that money through their recruitment strategy and then selling players on and then qualifying for Champions Leagues, which comes from success in terms of on the pitch, which also goes back to how important that recruitment role is. So the financial fair play thing is in place for clubs all over the world. That still holds a huge part of this takeover for Rangers as well. So that ownership structure and then the manager that they pick for going forward, for me, is the most important thing before we get to what type of player they're going to sign.
See on Sunday, Jordan, can Rangers do it again? Can they defy all their other domestic performances and find a level that suits them and ultimately go and win the game again against Celtic, do you think?
Well, I hope so. It'll be good to see Barry get another win, and that guard of honour with the water bottles is going to be something else. I heard that there's a special guard of honour where they're all going to squish water bottles over the Celtic players, so...
And the Celtic fan last night said, "We'll be scooshing champagne." Everyone's been working on their lines this week, haven't they? Anyway, thank you to Jordan on the phone lines. Incidentally, give us a call right now and we'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Building up to a massive night in the Championship. Will it be Falkirk or Livingston who win the title and get promoted, or will it be a big night in the hunt for the playoffs as well? Give us your thoughts right now on the phones or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's give you a teaser tonight as well. It's quite a good one, this Elliot and Kirkintilloch. It's one that you would maybe tease you a little bit, because it's a bit of a thinker. I like it from Elliot. Can you name the last 10 players to score in an Old Firm derby? The imagination out there is so good. With a double letter in their surname. So like Scott Allen would be one, yeah? A-L-L-A-N. So can you name the last 10 players to score in an Old Firm derby with a double letter in their surname? Doesn't include own goals, apparently, because that would include John Joe Kenny. But apart from him,
Suter.
James Forrest.
Suter, yes. Forrest, yes. Good start, you two. Any others? Any others? No? Maybe.
The last 10?
Who are the last 10 players to score an Old Firm game with a double letter in their surname, like Suter and Forrest? Any others? You're doing well, though. It's a good start. Not a bad start at all. All right, you can get back to me. Thanks again to Elliot and Kirkintilloch for sending it in full time.
There are two T's in Hatate, but they're not.
No. Double letters together, solo. Sorry.
You started sneaking.
No. Right, get the calls in, keep them coming. Where are we? About 15, 20 minutes away from kickoff in those big championship games. So we'll keep an eye on everything you need to know surrounding them. Plenty more. We've not even really looked at the other games in the Premiership this week. It's a massive weekend. You look at Aberdeen and Hibs going for third, Dundee United tucked in behind them as well.
How about Ross County
Hearts? And
the
bottom. Massive, isn't it?
Well, I mean, what a week they've had. You know, the sacked Neil Critchley. We had all the
yesterday's
hassle
news
over Lauren Shankland and whether he was smirking at the manager's demise and so on and so forth. They desperately need to win. And I feel for Liam Fox, because he's brought in, and, you know, he's got four games and he's got to avoid relegation playoffs. If Hearts lose in Dingwall tomorrow, I think they're in the mix. So that's how big a game it is for Liam Fox.
Yeah, looking forward to tomorrow a great deal. What about Brian and Cardonald tonight? How are you, Brian?
I'm very well. Yourself, guys?
Good, thank you.
How are you doing,
good,
Brian?
What made you call?
I'm very well. I'm just being very prophetic and looking at the weekend ahead of us, and there's some generations that haven't actually seen any dominance of the team from Ibrox, and Celtic winning 14 out of the last 15 is hardly embarrassing if they get beaten by a team on Sunday. This is my personal opinion, having already won the league. That's just my point.
Well, I think your point, Brian, will not be shared by the majority of the Celtic fans. I think if Celtic lose three times in a row in 2025 to Rangers, a Rangers team that the Celtic supporters have laughed at all season long, then I think there'll be an element of embarrassment that will not alter the situation that Celtic are the champions, but I think there would be an element of embarrassment there for Brendan Rodgers, for the players, and for the Celtic supporters.
This is why he's so good at what he does, Brian, because then people want to argue about the use of the word. You would must accept, with you, that I mean, there are degrees of embarrassment within that. You know, you get huge, unforgivable embarrassments and you get mild embarrassments. Would this be one of them? Because as Brian says, it might sting Brendan Rodgers a bit on Sunday night, but when the three trophies end up in the cabinet, it maybe outweighs it a bit.
Yeah, but as I always say to you, Gordon, the Old Firm represents a separate life form. I do understand about trebles and 13 in the last 14 titles for Celtic and so on and so forth. But the Celtic supporters have laughed at Rangers all season long, from the time when they had to go to Hampden and rent the ground because they made a mess of getting their own ground revamped, from the first defeat against Celtic, from the sacking of Philippe Clement, this, that, the other, Queen's Park and the Scottish Cup. The Celtic fans have laughed at Rangers all season long. If Rangers win on Sunday and it's three defeats of Celtic in a short space of time, a lot of Celtic supporters we can use any word you like, will be very annoyed, very irritated, very angry in some cases.
No, that's the thing, I do get that, but ultimately then when the dust settles and you offer the Celtic fans, would you take this? Would you take three defeats off Rangers every season if it meant you won a treble? They would, and then that suggests then that it's not the biggest embarrassment in the world.
Of course, I'm putting it in context because this is the weekend of the Old Firm game. The caller last night who said that if Rangers win, you'll need to hose down your programme on Monday night. That's what will be going on. The Rangers supporters will be triumphant on Super Scoreboard on Monday night. Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday will be batting them away. And the Celtic supporters will be saying, what is going on? That will last us from Monday until Friday, because I do understand that a potential treble for Celtic, 13 of the last 14 titles, etc., etc., etc. But this has the prospect of being the first three defeats in the same season for 28 years.
Would you meet him in the middle a bit, Brian? There must be a bit of you that is pretty keen to not have that run continue and to show why you're champions and all that stuff.
No, listen, I do get that, Gordon, right? I'm just saying that in the context of the word embarrassing, I'm thinking, well, really, is it? It's kind of like, this is the now. It's not the 80s, it's not the 90s. And things have moved on. And my nephews, you know, they're all like mid-20s. They've seen Celtic winning. And what I'm saying is, if we get beat after winning the league, it's not really a big deal. Yes, I get the Glasgow thing, right? But all I'm saying is, we have got a treble to win in 3 weeks' time. That's more important than whatever happens on Sunday. And that's my point.
Do you think Celtic will win this one, incidentally, Brian? Or at least not lose it?
I don't think they'll lose it. I'll leave it there.
Well, that's a draw then. Brian's got it down for a draw.
And I will get absolute pelters for that comment, I must admit.
But I don't think you will.
I don't think we'll. No, I will. In my inner circle, I will get slaughtered.
That's the subway, the inner circle.
Let's bring this back to actual football chat. You know, we've kind of gone round on a number of other topics. Celtic are going into this without Jota for sure, Scott, without Alistair Johnson, maybe with an undercooked Dyson Maeda, Nicholas Kuhn, I don't know, but they didn't train today. Look, these things happen. Rangers had various injuries in the game that they won 3-0, didn't they? That was one where they made some changes that day. But it's still not the strength of squad that Brendan Rodgers would like. Because as an example, this is where Brian's talking about bigger picture. Alistair Johnson's out just now so he can make the cup final. So you know that Celtic do still have their, as important as tomorrow is to take Hugh, if Sunday is to take Hugh's point, Celtic still have their priorities in the right order with his fitness in terms of the cup final becomes more important.
Yeah, there's no getting away that Celtic going for the treble in that cup final will be more important. I totally get that. But I think when you look at how Brendan Rodgers spoke after the St Johnstone game, how disappointed he was with that and the standards and kind of levels he's wanting to put into Celtic moving forward, then this game becomes a huge part of that as well. You can't just have that for an away fixture at St Johnstone when you're up against your closest rivals, and they always will be compared to each other. You've obviously lost the last two games against them, so that personal pride thing that we spoke about, that then comes into it for the manager and the levels and standards that he wants to set for these players, then he would expect them to go and put on a performance. And that is, if I was a Celtic fan from outside, that's what you would fully be expecting to see from a team who's been so comfortable in the league.
I've been surprised the programme this week, what Rangers fans saying they expect to win on Sunday, and you know, Brian, Celtic supporter, clearly doesn't think that Celtic will win because he thought a draw was going to be the outcome.
What did you make of that Jota news today, Brian, the 9 months, potentially?
Well, potentially, if someone gets injured, as Scott mentioned earlier on, it's part of the game, it's part and parcel. Mm-hmm. You can go out as fit as a fiddle, and then, in the warm-up, you're done. Unfortunately, it's one of these things, but he's only been back 3 months, or 4 months, and you're like, well, it's a blow. But we have quite a good squad. So there's potential for, is it going to look like a weakened team on Sunday, or do Celtic do what they should do and play the strongest squad on the 24th of May and not disregard Sunday, but take it on the chin?
going to be interesting when those team lines come in, as always. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers on that theme of how much it matters and how bad a defeat is, how good a win is, all the stuff we've been going round on there. Certainly listening to him, it sounds like he's playing quite a lot, placing quite a lot of importance on this Rangers game.
Yeah, this is a game that is all about pride. I think the challenge in these games is that we've been so comfortable going into the games, and I felt that has really disrupted our mindset. You know, when it was win or bust in the cup final, we win it, because there's that's it. These games we've been so comfortable, they just can be that little bit in the back of the mind that you're 13 points clear or 16 points clear, and so that is taking a fraction of an edge off that you don't want, but there's maybe a subconscious thing there. But this is our last game. We are fighting for the pride of our team. You know, I hear the talk up here about meaningless games. There's never that. A Celtic Rangers game, there's never a meaningless game, or there's nothing in the game. There's everything in this game. So we have to go and prove that on the field.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, as I said at the very start, there's no such thing as a dead rubber. The outcome of this game is equal to the meaning of life for the supporters. And I don't, when they come on here and say, oh, I'm not bothered, it'll be, come high noon on Sunday, the whole country will be on its ear waiting to see what happens at Ibrox, and everyone will care passionately.
That is different though, isn't it, to be fair though, because you could never take that away, that 90 minute bit. I suppose it's the lasting effects that probably tell you how big the game is, Scott. Because I know what you were saying, and our currency is this fixture, and we always build them up. But it could be way more meaningful, obviously. You're just denying facts otherwise. So I suppose for Brendan Rodgers, it's probably about trying to strike that balance. He's not going to want to cane his players because they've lost the last two and they might go on and win a treble. But he's trying to, you know, sort of underline that it is important for them to go and try and put it right, so to speak.
Yeah, I think the mentality that he touched on in terms of being comfortable, what I said a minute ago, was that standards that he is trying to drive and set, especially for, obviously, you get young guys like Engels coming into the fixture who's had some good games and some games where he hasn't been as good. You're trying to drive that mentality to then go into next season, for which we would expect Rangers to put on a better challenge. So I totally understand everything he said in his presser there. So, yes, it's not the be-all and end-all in terms of the league, but it's a Rangers-Celtic fixture, and Celtic have lost the last two games. Barry Ferguson, tactically, at Celtic Park, showed that he could mix it in that sort of game, and he'll want to get one up in Brendan Rodgers, and Brendan Rodgers will want his side to go out and show why they've been champions this season. It's simple as that.
How are you two faring in this teaser then? We're looking for the last 10 scorers in an Old Firm game who've got double letters in their name, like John Souter, James Forrest.
Do we go back to Chris Commons?
Nope.
The effort.
I thought you'd have some, I must admit. I'm a bit concerned at this.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah. Oh dear. I'll give you some thinking time.
Zachary Marcus?
Nope. I'll give you some thinking time and we'll get the kickoffs in the big championship games. What a night it's going to be, and it all gets underway next. 1025 Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. It is almost showtime. Falkirk against Hamilton Accies win the game and they win the championship title and, of course, promotion to the Premiership. Livingston are waiting in the wings though against Partick Thistle, should Falkirk slip up in any way and Livingston take advantage, they would pip them to top spot and get promoted back to the Premiership. It's not just those two involved either though, because Livingston play Partick Thistle. They sit in fourth, the final playoff spot, but Raith Rovers are waiting to take advantage if Partick Thistle can't get the result they need. So a night of guaranteed drama and excitement lies ahead. Falkirk, Livingston, who will join us in the top flight next season and who will finish in the playoffs? Give us your predictions, Hugh Keevans.
Falkirk will win.
Because,
well,
that's that then.
Yeah.
So the simple equation.
They are stealing food from their children's plates.
Stop it. I can't let you away with that. That is unfair on the people of Falkirk.
They'll win. I just feel sorry for the Hamilton Accies team, for John Rankin. They are the condemned men, and if Falkirk fail to win this match, then it is a horrendous blow to the morale, and they might not even get up, period. But I think they'll win, and win comfortably, and be the champions.
I think Falkirk win. I think it's as simple as they have to win. Yeah, and to do it in the last day of the season, obviously, it looks like it's going to be a sellout as well. The sun shining in Falkirk, what a way to go up.
Okay, Scott Allen, do Livingston beat Partick Thistle?
Draw.
Which would get Thistle probably into the playoffs then, because they've got a better goal difference than Wraith, don't they?
Yeah,
so even if Wraith won, unless they won by a mile, that would see Thistle in fourth place, yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm telling you, wacky Queen's Park are going to throw in a spanner to the works here, and they will draw with Wraith.
Is this you just hoping for your pal Mark Wilson?
I fully admit that is the case, but I...
Because you do realise, right, I've got something to tell you. If they get promoted and he gets the job, he won't be able to take you home on a Saturday. Have you thought about that? That changed things for you?
Well, no. I'd rather get the train.
You can't be getting the train in the winter months, though.
Well, you
it's too
know,
dark.
I've got, you know, there are people, you know, that I know people.
Dare say you do.
I don't get to be called Lord Lift for nothing.
Yeah, that is true. We are underway in both the games, so I'll let you know what happens in the opening stages. It feels wrong to sort of poke fun at Hamilton Accies and make such a light-hearted jibe when they've got so much more serious stuff going on, and relegation and having to move out their stadium and so on. But I think that strip was the start of their downfall this season. If you allow me to be tongue-in-cheek for a second, what is that gold and red combo?
It's bad, isn't it?
For a stylish man like
it's
yourself,
really
Scott
bad.
Allen.
It's really bad.
You'd refuse to wear that.
No, I wouldn't. I'd take it.
There's a stylish man on the screen, John McGlynn, with his cap on. But he must love Super Scoreboard, by the way.
Yeah.
He's always referencing it in his press conferences.
Good man.
Someone asked him a couple of weeks ago about league reconstruction, and he said, yeah, I've been listening to Super Scoreboard every night this week when they've been debating it. And then this week someone asked him about Hamilton's points deduction, and he brought up the caller who called in and was devastated.
Well,
about
a discerning man,
a man of good taste,
of certain age, and he knows good radio from bad when he hears it.
Mm-hmm. Actually felt quite seen today.
Teddy prefers a Friday, doesn't he?
Nah, it's his favourite night.
Yeah.
I think you two can take the blame for this. Actually, during Brendan Rodgers' press conference today, I don't know what I can't even remember what the question was. It was just something about how like narratives build up or whatever, and he was just making the point where he was talking about, well, you know, people, that's why we've got so many newspapers and podcasts. And then he just sort of pointed and said, and radio shows that are on every night of the week, you're not on a Sunday as well, are you? I said, actually, well, we will be this weekend. So I felt like we were sort of taking the blame for some of the madness. Maybe that's partly true. But anyway, there's an experienced and youthful mix to that Falkirk team. Scott Arfield, you wouldn't bet on him getting a decisive goal this evening. He's in from the start, as he often is. Sometimes comes off early though, which I've seen a few of the Falkirk fans
surprisingly
grumbling
week,
about.
Yeah, made his debut for Falkirk and scored the hat-trick. Who would bet against him being the guy who scores the goal that takes them up?
Wonder if that
fairy
is
fairy tale.
You know, because once you start getting a couple of things you're wrong as a team, Scott, John McGlynn been pretty flawless all season. He's going for a manager of the year, he's on the shortlist. But just in the last couple of weeks, I've seen Falkirk fans saying, what's the deal with that? I know he's older, but I think you can leave him on a bit longer. Always good bet for a goal.
Yeah, well, listen, if I was a young player, I'd be following him about when the ball's in the final third, because you're guaranteed to get a chance to fall to you. Such clever runs that he does make, and all that experience, obviously, brilliant for so many young players to learn off. I just think Falkirk the last few weeks, I'd be more worried if I was Falkirk and we weren't creating chances. They have still been creating chances, just not taking them. If you weren't seeing that in the performance, then I think tonight would be a lot more nervy.
Morton are one up in Dunfermline already. Moffat with the goal, it doesn't really change anything for either of those sides.
Subconsciously, Dunfermline, the verdict yesterday to maintain the punishment on Hamilton Accies, guaranteed safety for Dunfermline, and subconsciously, the switch goes off, doesn't it?
Aye. On holiday.
Yeah, really all just, I mean, nothing can change at the bottom. Airdrie are going to play in that playoff spot, aren't they? And Hamilton Accies down, as confirmed by that appeal failure yesterday. Still no goals then in the big games at the top. Can you two try and round off your teaser? You've got miles of work to be done here. Can you name the last 10 players to score in an Old Firm game who've got a double letter in their surname? So like Souter with the two T's, Forrest with the two R's,
David Turnbull,
Turnbull with the two L's. Yep.
Dessers,
two S's. Yep.
Proper,
two P's together. Yep.
Cantwell.
Todd Cantwell. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4 to get. I will tell you it's 2 Rangers, 2 Celtic that you're looking for. Well, that doesn't really help you in this instance, does it? It's more about the words and the way they're spelled. So 2 Rangers, sort of forward attacking players. One would definitely be considered a striker. The other one might just kind of forward-ish attacking midfielder. Oh, Hamilton Ackies have scored. Is it offside? No, it's not. Wow. That could be huge. Falkirk 0, Hamilton 1, 4.5 minutes on the clock. Am I going to do an as things stand after 4 minutes?
You have to.
As things stand, Livy win the league and Livy get promoted to the top flight. Well, well, well.
No emotion from John Rankin, the Ackies manager, but plenty of emotion from John McGlynn, who is astounded as we were. Bad goal to lose.
Yeah, and I don't think it was offside either. You know, I think they were hard done by some a refereeing decision last week. The hands went up, but I don't think so. Just some pretty ropey defending. Keeper could only get a hand to it and just knock it back right in front of goal, and it's an easy tap in the end. Is it Scott Robinson that got the goal there at the back post?
Yeah,
I think it was. And wow, what a start. Because if Falkirk are going to win it, it's going to have to be done in the dramatic way.
Yeah.
And now I bet the celebration's going on at Livy.
Well, as the Dazzler always says, if you're going to score, lose a goal early.
Well, what happens at Almond Vale now is the fans then celebrate and the team get a massive lift.
I don't think tonight, I don't think Gordon DL's theories ever work, but particularly tonight, because those Falkirk players must be, you know the phrase, say on radio.
See at the same time though, losing the early goal could maybe settle you. I know that sounds mad, what I'm saying.
Is this like when Rory McIlroy double bogeyed the first at the Masters?
And he
said that it somehow settled him.
Yeah.
Because like it can't get any worse or whatever, and you just throw caution to the wind.
I'm just thrown out there.
Well, either, you know, the Ackies players were either going to be devastated or determined, and they have started in a very determined fashion. That the nightmare of the judgment being upheld doesn't seem to have affected them. I know it will in the long term, but they're giving this a real good go.
How do you think producer John's coping with all of this?
Oh.
Is he at the game tonight?
Oh, he will be. It's an absolute certainty. Wow. What a start. It promised to be huge night in the championship, and it started in exactly the type of fashion that just breathes life into the drama, because it could have not petered out, but Falkirk have it in their hands. They need to win the game. So Falkirk had taken a stranglehold, scored a couple early. You're then not in for any drama.
No.
You know the way it's heading for the rest of the night. But Falkirk losing, Livingston still goalless, which means as it stands, even that would be enough.
Incredible.
For Livingston to get promoted to the top flight once again. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Falkirk going on the attack to try and get something back. How important is it, Scott, that there are a kind of calm heads element from Falkirk? Because you don't want to force this. You know, they only played 7 minutes.
No,
don't get all frantic.
There's still a lot of football to be played, and since they did concede the goal, they have moved the ball really well, looking to create chances. Listen, Hamilton will drop off naturally, as you do.
Morton 2-0 up against Dunfermline
as well.
They really have switched off.
Or you're struggling here, right? Players to score in the Old Firm, last 10 who've got double letters in their name. You've got proper Dessers, Cantwell, Souter, Turnbull, Forrest, Rangers striker with a double O in his name.
Are you trying to give us a clue there?
What's on top of your house?
Come on, roof.
Roof. What about Celtic's former Norwegian winger, but he doesn't sound very Norwegian, hence the name here.
He played for Southampton?
Yes. Quick.
Elianussi.
Yep. This goal may or may not have been offside, Hugh Keevans. You might have heard about it on the show. It was a set piece. It was a cup final, Hampden.
Christopher Julian.
Yep. And the last one, famous footballing father, played up here, scores a lot of goals for one of the Sheffield sides, Josh Windass. Strap yourselves in. The championship is delivering right to the wire. As it stands, Livy are coming up. We'll find out who it is tomorrow. Join us from 2:00.